Hello and happy new year. I hope it was a great celebration into the new year. We're already 3 days in. It's amazing. And I know there are lots of differences again to look forward to in this new year, with schools not starting tomorrow as they should, but hey ho. Yeah, it's a new year, but it still has some of the old problems to deal with. Well, we're just going to have to crack on. And I hope that you're looking forward to the great things God has in store for you for this new year. But some things have not changed. We're still doing parables. We've got another 11 or so to go. And I'm still doing my little quiz of you guessing what I am thinking of. So for 5 points, I am thinking of a Christian celebration. For 4 points, it is mentioned in all 4 Gospels of the Bible. For 3 points, this celebration was prophesied in the Old Testament. For 2 points, at Sitting Bone Baptist Church, we celebrated with a march of Christian witness. And for 1 point, we celebrated in April. So, did you guess that I was thinking of Easter? Yay, I hope so, because that is the correct answer. Right, so the parable we are talking about today is a really interesting one and quite challenging. It is one of my favorite ones. And it's the parables of the workers in the vineyard. We find it in Matthew chapter 20, and it starts in verse 1. I'm just going to find that in my Bible. This is a parable. We haven't talked about this topic for a while, but it's something that Jesus really tried to get people to understand about the kingdom of heaven and what that is like. Because the kingdom of heaven doesn't apply to the same principles as what our principles are like as human beings. God operates the kingdom of God, and his reward system is totally different to ours. Some people have even gone as far as to say it is the opposite of what we have. So I'll read the parable and then we'll start talking about that in a minute. So this is Jesus speaking, and I'm reading from Matthew chapter 20 from verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out early one morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay the normal daily wage and sent them off to work. At 9 o'clock in the morning, he was passing through the marketplace and saw some people standing around doing nothing. So he hired them, telling them he would pay them whatever was right at the end of the day. So they went to work in the vineyard. At noon, and again at 3 o'clock, he did the same thing. At 5 o'clock that afternoon, he was in town again and saw several people standing around. He asked them, "Why haven't you been working today?" They replied, "Because no one hired us." The landowner told them, "Then go out and join the others in my vineyard." That evening, he told the foreman to call the workers in and pay them, beginning with the last workers first. When those hired at 5 o'clock were paid, each received a full day's wage. When those hired first came to get their pay, they assumed they would receive more, but they too were paid a full day's wage. When they received their pay, they protested to the owner, "Those people worked only 1 hour, and yet you have paid them just as much as you paid us, who worked all day in the scorching heat." He answered them, "Friends, I haven't been unfair. Didn't you agree to work all day for the usual wage? Take your money and go. I wanted to pay this last worker the same as you. Is it against the law for me to do what I want with my money? Should you be jealous because I am kind to others? For those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last.
Right. Lots and lots to think about here. So a day's labor in that day was 12 hours long. So people would start working at 6 a.m. And we can see from the story that he agrees to pay the people at 6 a.m. a full day's wage. And then everyone else who comes in at 9 o'clock, he saw the people standing and he hired them. And he went to work in his vineyard, but they didn't really agree a price. And then at noon, he goes in again and he gets more people. And then at 3 o'clock, he does the same. At 5 o'clock, he tells those people, I will pay you what is fair. Right. Now, the 5 o'clock people, I do have my doubts about them because they were just hanging around in town. They had been there all day. Considering, you know, they would have arrived at 6 a.m. with the people that were hired first. They have been hanging around there for like 11 hours, not doing anything. So, was it really fair that he sends them in to work for that last hour? How productive are they going to be? Okay, and then at the end of the day, he pays everybody exactly the same. The people that were working 12 hours are paid the same amount as the people that worked only 1 hour. How fair is that? Okay, our system and our way of thinking, we would say that was not fair at all. That the people that worked longer should have got more money. Or at the very least, the people that only worked 1 hour should have got 1 hour's worth of money. But no, that is not God's economy. God's economy is that everybody is paid the same, regardless of how hard they worked. So this is an illustration, a story with a hidden meaning, like all parables are, and it is about the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus wants us to understand that God's economy and God's system of doing things is different. So, another thing that this landowner does is that he normally, people that were hired first were paid first. Now, if that had happened, there wouldn't have been any argument because the people that were hired first had the agreement, I will pay you a full day's wage. They would have got their full day's wage first and gone off and would not have known what everyone else was getting. But no, this was going to be a lesson for all of them. And they were told to wait until the 5 o'clock people were paid first. And they saw the 5 o'clock people getting a full day's wage. And they saw the 3 o'clock people getting a full day's wage. And the 12 o'clock people and the 9 o'clock people. And they would have thought, oh, surely we will get more because we have worked 12 whole hours, whereas everyone else has worked less. But no, they got exactly the same wage as everyone else. And so, therefore, then they became angry and then they became jealous and then they became cross and were arguing with the landowner. But nobody was cheated. Some people were overpaid, but the people that got the full day's wage, the 6 a.m. people, the ones that worked a whole day, they agreed to get a whole day's wage. And all the other people, well, they got away with murder a little bit, didn't they? They got away with working for a short time, but getting a full day's pay. And for us as people, this can be really difficult. We will struggle with seeing other people getting more than we did. And we really struggle with this. And we get all these bad feelings rising up in us that that's not fair. I should have more. Why are they getting more than me? And another really time that we struggle is when we see other people getting what we want. We really do struggle with this. But Jesus made sure those people that had been working all day, that they saw that they were getting the same wage as everyone else. He wanted them to see that. And what do we do when we have these emotions coming up? Because we forget that really the Bible tells us that we don't deserve heaven. We can never earn heaven. We can never work hard enough to be good enough for God. Because the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, and we are all born into sin. And so we don't deserve to go into heaven. Because it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. It says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then another part of the Bible in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. All these verse 23s, they're amazing. It says that the wages of sin is death. That means because of sin, the payment that we get from sin is death. There is nothing good. You know, it's that death that ends up in hell. It's that death that is dark and horrible and you want to avoid. And the death that is painful and long and agonizing and all of that. That is what we have worked for. That is when we sin, that is our payment. But it goes on to say, it doesn't leave us in that state, thank goodness. It goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life. So this is a gift that you cannot earn. A gift is something that is given freely. You don't have to pay for it. And that is the eternal life that God gives us in heaven. We can't work for it, and we're not good enough for it, but God gives it freely as a gift to us. Amazing. Absolutely love it. So when you think about it, oh yeah, this is like grace. The grace that God gives us is like the wage that all the workers received. It cannot be measured out. And it is not determined by the amount of work that we do, but it is the favor of God. And it's available for all people. And that is the biggest challenge for Christians, to think that God is going to give each and every person that trusts in him the same blessing of heaven, the same gift of eternal life. So when you think about all these people that were working in the vineyard, which group do you belong to? Are you the 6 a.m. people that worked all day? Are you the 9 o'clock that came in like when you were younger? Are you the 12 o'clock people that came in your middle age and you then trusted in God? Are you one of the people that waited until 3 p.m. when you were in your 60s or 70s? Are you going to be one of those people that waits to trust in God after you've had a good old laugh and a good old time and wasted a lot of your life? Or are you going to be one of those people that waits until the last minute, and maybe you're at death's door and maybe you've had a car accident and you're just waiting for that last minute, and then you're going to give your life to Christ and you're going to get heaven as your reward? But the problem with that scenario is we don't know how long the day is. We don't know when it's going to be clocking out time. So if you're one of those people who's waiting for the 11th hour, which is waiting until the last moment, I'm going to enjoy my life now, and then right at the last minute, I'm going to dedicate my life to Christ. I'm going to wait until I'm going to be a 5 p.m. person who just only has to be good for an hour before Jesus takes me home to heavenly glory. But you don't know when it's going to be 5 o'clock. Because to be honest, any one of us could die at any time. Well, COVID had shown us that, hasn't it? People that we thought were really strong, people that we thought would really hang in there, people have died. People have had grandparents die and parents die. People that we know have had young relatives die. And it has been very, very unfortunate. But those people certainly would not have thought their 5 p.m. time was coming. They would not have thought, oh, it's time to clock out. I'm going to make sure I give my life to God. We don't know what they were going through. So you cannot wait. You can't bank on that. Because God calls us at different times to use our gifts for the kingdom of heaven. There are some people that are called from the time they are born, from the time they are very, very young, and they give their lives to Christ. I remember making that pledge lots of times as I was growing up. And I remember when I was 9 years old, sort of lifting my hand to a Billy Graham crusade on TV and saying, yes, I want to receive Jesus into my heart. I didn't really understand what that meant. But I joined a group of people like Samuel and Isaac and Jacob, who God called into his kingdom when they were really young, and he really used them when they were young. Some people have waited until they were teenagers, and then they gave their hearts to the Lord then, like David, Joseph, Solomon. They were teenagers and they had a better understanding of what they were doing, so they made a better commitment. And some people might wait until they're in their middle ages, after they've been to uni and they've got married and they've got children. People like Noah and Jonah, they were adults when they gave their lives to God. And God called them to use them. Some people even, you know, were even older than that. Abraham was in his 80s when God asked him to leave his father's house and to go to where God was going to show him. But you cannot do that. You can't leave it until the last minute. Because as you get older, God wants to use your gifts for the kingdom of God to call other people in. Don't leave it late. Whatever time you go to God and to go into his kingdom, he will take you. And you can still make heaven's blessing. But you would have wasted such a long time of not using your gifts for God's kingdom. And as I said, we don't know how long it's going to be before God calls us. And another thing this parable teaches us is that there are going to be people that we might think don't deserve to be in heaven, but God will allow them in. These might even be people that bullied you, people that were not very kind to you, but because they might give their lives at the last minute, they might be 5 o'clock people that only work an hour before heaven comes along. But God doesn't turn anyone away. Look at how he went to the marketplace at 5 p.m. and he saw people that had no excuses for lounging about. All that they could say was, oh, nobody hired us. Really? What were they doing? They were just lounging and waiting in the town instead of going out to look for work. But God still gives them a chance and God still calls them into the kingdom and they still make heaven and they still get the same reward as you and I who have been faithfully going to church, trusting in God, relying on all of that. But no, we still all get the same eternal grace of God, which is eternal life. So we need to not worry about other people. When they became a Christian, how hard they work, how much of the Bible they read, whether they work in the church, whether they play in the youth band, whether they are good or they. We need to stop worrying about. We need to stop counting up Jesus's money and saying, whoa, 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 you shouldn't be paying them the same as what we get because we've been here longer and we've worked harder. That's got nothing to do with us. We need to stop comparing ourselves to other people and just concentrate on doing the work that Jesus has given us to do and enjoying the rewards that he's given us to. So, you know, don't worry about how much other people have or how much reward they seem to be getting. You work on you. You concentrate and focus your mind on you and what God has blessed us with. Don't say, oh, because this person hasn't suffered at all, they shouldn't be getting any rewards. That's got nothing to do with you. You need to just concentrate on you and receive what God has agreed for you to receive, which is eternal life in heaven. And whoever else is there, that's got nothing to do with you. So that's that parable. And I really do love it because it really helps us to stop thinking about other people and make us think about what our priorities are and how we can use our gifts to be a blessing in the kingdom of heaven and not worry about the Joneses, not look around at what other people are doing and what rewards they are getting. We need to focus on us. So at the end of the day, God loves us all. He wants us all to make heaven. And it doesn't matter how you're doing it. Just make sure that you're holding on to God and trusting Jesus to get you into heaven. And if you're spending time talking to him, he will let you know any changes you need to make to your life or anything that you need to start up. So we've likely got another week of no school. I'll be going into work just one day, but you take care, stay blessed, and stay focused on God, and Jesus will help you through. The Holy Spirit will talk to you if you give him the time to do that. Take care, and I'll see you next week. Bye.